Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Osmo.com NHL DFS Strategy Show. This is going to be a sprint today. We've got 11 games to discuss. I'm Jake Hari. I'm joined by Michael Clifford. Slim Cliffy, you might know him as. What's up, Cliffy? How did last night go for you?
I only went single lineup last night. Went Buffalo 3, so my single lineup didn't – with Tokarski and Nett. So my single lineup didn't do very well, but I still believe in that call. One thing Josh and I talked about yesterday was Buffalo 3's potential ice time. I think one guy was at 16, and Jeff Skinner was over 20. So they got the ice time. It's just, you know, obviously they're not a very good team.
Yeah. Skinner didn't do a whole lot, but, yeah, you mentioned the ice time. We'll talk about that game in a little bit. Maybe we could go back to some Jeff Skinner. There's going to be some stuff on the other side that people are going to enjoy. And so we've got a number of topics. We'll hit on all the high points today. And then if you got any other additional questions, join us in Slack afterwards. Cliffy and I are around. We've got a bunch of really good subscribers. If you're looking to get in for a package, osmo.com/join is how you do so. And then always, I should mention this. We've got a promos page. If you go to osmo.com/promos, you can see any current promos we have going on. So if we forget to mention them on the show, you can always check back there if you're looking to sign up and get a little bit of a deal. Did not have the Andrew Kopp. I guess it was a hat trick. It was a four-goal game. So I wasn't in on that one. And his line mates didn't do a whole lot. But, not a good slate for me. But that's all right. These 11 gamers, these Thursday night slates, there's a lot to talk about. But I think if you're just playing the best plays and you're correlating and not playing the overwhelming chalk at every single position, you're probably going to be in a pretty good spot. So feeling pretty good going into this one. Any initial thoughts off the top here on this 11 gamer, Cliffy?
All I'll say is that I really enjoy the slates where Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl aren't playing on the top line together. I really enjoy these slates with no Edmonton Oilers because it just takes one more automatic slam in decision away from me. It, you know, it kind of removes the ability for me to make bad decisions. So thank you for that, NHL.
Yeah. Josh Harris in chat posted some funny messages. Alabama Jones just joined Team Awesome. I don't know if that was for our show or for the NBA show, but welcome. If you guys want to join and get some free avatars, some like Osmo avatars and stuff, some badges, I believe they're called. You can just click the join button right below where you see me and Cliffy on your screen. Other things that we've got going on. This is really important. We really need your help here. We need you to subscribe to the channel. You know, some of the people here at Osmo, we've been down a little bit because we got to 50,000 and now all our subs or, you know, prospective subs are just kind of coasting a little bit. And we don't want you to coast. Subscribe to the channel. That would make Cliffy and I very happy if everybody watching this right now and watching on delay could subscribe to the YouTube channel. And if you feel so inclined, hit the notification bell because then you'll know when we go live for NHL, PGA, MMA, NBA. Of course, we got a bunch of content coming up for NBA right after this show. And NFL when it's in season, we've got everything. So subscribe to the channel. It's only going to help you out. It is the number one way you can help us out for free if you're not quite ready to join. Jock Market is the presenting sponsor of the NHL Strategy Show. They've turned Daily Fantasy Sports into a stock exchange. They allow you to buy and sell shares of players in real time for real money with guaranteed payouts for all your shares at the end of each night. They've got NHL, they've got PGA, they've got NBA. And you can make real money every hour, every minute, every second of every match or game. Use the pregame IPO to pick up shares of your favorite players, then buy, sell, or hold during the game based on your own analysis. The promo code, if you want to sign up, this is the important part. The promo code is AwesomeNHL20 for a $20 bonus on your first deposit. This is an exclusive offer for the Awesomeo community, so make sure you take advantage today. Again, AwesomeNHL20, $20 deposit bonus. Not many sites doing deposit bonuses. So you're going to want to go check out Jock Market. Let's get into this 11 games. It's going to be a sprint, but we're going to get through this in about 50 minutes. Islanders, Bruins, 2.5 implied total for the Isles, 2.7 for the Bruins. Could be Varlamov, could be Sorokin for the Islanders. Rask going for the Bruins. We've got 25K Boston 1 tonight. What are you doing with this one, Cliffy? Is there anything you're interested in here?
So Boston's anytime Boston's on a slate, they are always of interest. I just don't think this is the particular spot to do it. Like even with the Islanders and their injuries of late, like if you look at what they've done over the last few weeks, they're still top 10 by expected goals against per 60 minutes. When you look at actual goals against, again, still top 10, the one of the least penalized teams in the league. Like, this is just a really, really bad matchup for Boston. It's one of those things I would never say that somebody's stupid for playing Boston 1. They're one of the two or three best lines in the league. You know, that's why they're priced where they are. I just have no interest in this matchup. And in fact, I don't have much interest in Boston altogether. Their depth has actually been really bad, especially over the last month or so. Like if you look just the month of March, without the top line on the ice, Boston is generating 1.5 expected goals per 60 minutes, 1.1 actual goals per 60 minutes, and a shot expected goal share under 45%. Like the depth is just getting absolutely run over here. So out on Boston completely, really, on this slate for me. On the Islander side, I have a little interest in Pajot and Wahlstrom. Wahlstrom is a guy that I was high on as a prospect, and you know, I always worry about somebody coming into the Islanders system, but he, you know, where he was playing 9, 10, 11 minutes earlier in the season, he's up to into the 13, 14 range regularly now. Him and Pajot play the same power play unit. So I'm probably going to have a little bit of Wahlstrom and Pajot in some of my more expensive stacks. Ryan Pulock, like, he's a defenseman that we talk about sometimes, but he still hasn't hit the 5-shot bonus in a single game this year. It really is kind of bizarre. So as far as what we do on the blue line, like I think I might just correlate something like Letty with my Pajot and Wahlstrom lineups and, you know, maybe put in some Adam Pellick. The one guy I'd say I have a lot of interest in as a punt, depending whether or not he plays, is Thomas Hickey. Hickey is a guy that he's typically a pretty good shot blocker and he's min price. So You know, if you're looking for a min price guy that might be able to get to the shot block bonus, I think Thomas Hickey's the guy.
Yeah, I actually have Hickey in a bunch of my lineups so far. So min salary. I mean, yeah, you're looking for blocks there. Maybe you donk an assist or something like that. Boston won. They're always fine to play. Like, they're just always going to be in play, I guess. They're just extremely expensive. And if I'm going way up, I think I'm probably going to Colorado 1, which we'll get to in our last game. So I just think I'm going to run out of lineups to where I get to a lot of Boston 1. They're very low owned. They have a good chance of being a top two stack. You're going to have to find the really cheap filler. And that's the problem that I'm finding there. Don't mind the Islanders 3 call, Pageau, Bevilier, and Wahlstrom, or two man with either of those guys. I don't really have much interest in Isles 1 or Isles 2 here. Like, it's just kind of an ugly game, one of the lowest total games on the slate. And so I'm probably getting my exposure in other ones. But yeah, just wanted to mention Boston 1. Like, they're never a bad play. Like, this is not a spot where you need to completely avoid them. I just think if you're using our projections on the site or any sort of projections, you're probably going to like other spots a little bit better. Anything else in that one?
No, that's probably it for me here.
All right, let's go to the Rangers and the Flyers. 3.3 implied total for the Rangers, 3.1 for the Flyers. Shesterkin and Hart are your goalies. Flyers played, was that last night? Or I think it was two nights ago. Couturier scored a couple late goals. Yeah, it was two nights ago against the Devils. They didn't match opposing top competition. They didn't match the Jesper Bratt, Palmieri line with Hughes. They matched with Zajac and had a really tough time with them. The Zajac line, I think, was the nut line on the night that slate. So are you worried about Couturier's health here? And are you worried enough to go to some Rangers with this big total?
Yeah. I am really worried about Couturier here. Like, the first thing, like, this isn't something that we're just speculating about, right? Like, the team itself said that he's injured. And the beat writer said that it was a hip injury. Like, we know it's a hip injury, right? We just don't know the severity of it. And you're right about the line matching. Sean Couturier for years had been the shutdown center in Philadelphia. The last two games, they've been throwing him out against the depth. It seems they don't want him in that shutdown role anymore. And it's probably a good thing for them. If you look at that top line's numbers this month, 1.9 expected goals for per 60 minutes below average, 50.4 expected goal share. Like, it's not bad, like, but for a Sean Couturier line, it's horrible. It's pretty clearly there's just something not right there. So without that shutdown line, there's really not a lot from the Flyer side that scares me. Like, I guess, like, Giroux, Hayes, and Konechny could be a tough matchup, but Hayes is a fine two-way center. He's not elite. He's nowhere in the Sean Couturier range. Travis Konechny is a great offensive player. He's not great defensively yet. And, you know, Claude Giroux's career is kind of on the downside. So, like, that's not a matchup that would scare me away from Rangers 1. And I'm going to Rangers 1 here on this slate. I wrote up Mika Zibanejad in the Power Plays article today for Osmo.com. His ice time, like, consistently over 20 minutes a night of late. Again, I'm not super concerned about that matchup, and it's the ownership that's really taking me here. We have them coming in under 5% total, one of the better leverage spots on the slate. We have them top five for leverage. So I really like the Rangers here. The one concern I have is that Philly hasn't been taking a ton of penalties this month, but Philly's goaltending has been a complete disaster for most of the year, especially the last month or so. So no concerns on the Philly side for matchup or goaltending. So I'm going to Rangers 1. Give me Zibanejad, Kreider, and Buchnevich. I know they are a little bit expensive, but I think there are more reasonably priced lines elsewhere on the slate. And them being a little bit expensive takes away ownership from them, especially on the road. So I'm in on Rangers 1 here tonight. I don't know what, like, the Philly third line kind of interests me, but I don't know if I want to get down that far on an 11-game slate. I wonder what your thoughts are on that depth here.
The Philly third line?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you seeing it as Patrick Lindblom and Voracek?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So that looks like it got updated on the lineup builder. I don't mind digging down to some third lines on big slates like this. Like, you know, I mentioned Colorado 1, and I don't think I'm going to have Colorado 1 in like 30% of my lineups, but, you know, in the few Colorado 1 lineups that I do have, that would be a pretty good pairing, especially with the high implied total over three goals. You've got real players here. It's not like, you know, you're playing three scrubs. They're really cheap. Like, I think we like Voracek to some extent. You like Lindblom, and then Patrick's min salary. So I don't mind the call, especially going up against the Rangers depth, which isn't very strong. And then,
hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
On Rangers 1, I thought I would get to some more of them. And maybe I'll end up forcing some in. But I got to more Rangers 2 so far, at least. Just a little bit cheaper with Kako. $2,600 there. But I mean, I'm worried about Couturier as well. Like, that's pretty telling that they couldn't even shut down the Zajac line or generate that many chances against them. So I think something's clearly wrong there. I mean, we know something's wrong, but to what extent, we're not exactly sure. I think that could be a pretty big detriment to these Flyers. And that's why you're seeing the big total for the Rangers. So no issue with either of the top two lines. I got to the second one just a little bit more. And then Fox goes with either of the top two lines. I'm still going to play some Trouba and probably going to get to some Keandre Miller for $2,700 as well. Just a guy that's going to see ice time, block some shots likely, and $2,700 playing top pair with Fox. Not too bad of a spot there. Philippe Myers on the other side, $2,600 going back to him a little bit. But yeah, I think I'm coming in at a pretty low exposure to most things in this game. And surprisingly, we're not seeing a ton of ownership in this game, despite it being one of the few 6.5 totals.
I think one thing with the Flyers is, like, you can make a case for three lines, right? So when you have so many lines that can score, it just really dilutes the ownership. And I think you're seeing low ownership on the Rangers just because of the price of the top line. I don't think people want to pay close to $20,000 for a line on the road, like, almost regardless, unless it's like the Leafs going into Ottawa, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get to that one very soon. We've got the Devils and the Caps, 2.5 implied total for the Devils, 3.4 for the Caps. Blackwood and Vanecek, your expected goalies here. We've got Kuznetsov with Ovechkin and TJ Oshie, Backstrom with Vrana, and Tom Wilson. I think everyone's going to like the top line for the Caps. I think you might like the second line a little bit with Vrana. Playing with Backstrom and Wilson. What do you think about Caps 2? And then do you agree with the Washington 1 popularity that we've got so far?
Yeah, so Caps 2 is kind of based just on Vrana's, like, Vrana himself. Like, he's another guy I wrote about in the Power Place article this morning. And I wrote about how his production is just truly amongst the elite in the NHL, like, on a per 60 basis over the last 3 years. Like, we're talking, his goal scoring rate is up there with Pasternak and Matthews. Like, it's just utterly ridiculous. It's just, he doesn't get the ice time commensurate with his talent. And that's the kind of what concerns me here. Like, I would love to stack that Washington second line, do something like Vrana, Backstrom with Ovechkin, but I'm just concerned that Vrana is going to play like 13 or 14 minutes. So I think, like, as far as that second line goes, I'm more on board with one-offing Vrana than I am with stacking the line as a whole. Like, I think in this matchup, especially with New Jersey's penalty kill, you really want to get as much of the power play as possible. So I'm going to be going to that top line, but it will be some power play stacking, right? Like, I won't be, I'll definitely be having some lineups with both Ovechkin and Backstrom in them, even though they're on separate even strength lines. And I think the ownership is going to be somewhat reasonable because people really like to, you know, shove in lines that are fully correlated. And Evgeny Kuznetsov is still skating on that second power play unit. And Kuznetsov, I think, is the guy I want to talk about the most here, because that top line as configured now was pretty bad last year, but Kuznetsov himself was pretty bad last year. And we've talked about his resurgence. I just looked earlier, his play driving offensively is 2 standard deviations above the league average. Like, he's been just great this year. So I don't have a lot of concern that Washington, one, won't be able to generate a five-on-five, so I have no problem stuffing in Kuznetsov with Ovechkin, especially where he's almost $2,000 cheaper than Backstrom, right? Like, it's a significant saving. So, where Ovechkin still sometimes plays on power play too, like Ovechkin, or Evgeny Kuznetsov is still going to get some power play time with him, not a ton, but still some. So, you know, I do like that Washington second line. I just worry about ice time. So I'm more on board with like one offing Jacob Vrana than stacking. And like I said, I'm going to be in on the Washington top line. On the Devil's side, like, I just really don't have a ton of interest. Seems like every time I say I don't have interest in the Devils, one of their lines pops a couple goals and Kelly Canuck thinks the 5K or something like that. So maybe he'll pop it again here tonight, but I don't have a lot of interest. Washington's been one of the best defensive teams in the league for a few weeks now. So I think there are better spots to take advantage of cheaper prices. So I'm out on the Devils, in on Washington one.
I wouldn't mind going to the Hughes, Brat, Palmieri line on the Devils side just to get them out of the way. I rarely get to the Zajac line. I think it's because the lack of power play time. They are dirt cheap. They do generate decent chances offensively, actually pretty good. They're just terrible defensively. And that brings me to the Caps side. I think Caps one is probably going to see a lot of time against that Zajac line. And then Backstrom against the Hughes, Brat, and Palmieri trio. So, the problem I usually have with Caps one with the Ovechkin lines is usually just that they don't generate very well at 5-on-5, but I think this line's going to be able to. So I'm in agreement with you there. You get two guys in the top power play, and you always mentioned that Kuznetsov will play some with Ovechkin on that second unit because Ovechkin plays on both units. So you could stack them up with Carlson pretty nicely. I think good chance, probably about a 50-50 chance that the Caps one ends up as my number one stack on the night in terms of exposure. And then I was coming in at about 8% on Caps two. So I'm feeling pretty good about them. Judging on where their ownership's at, only, you know, probably like 3-5% ownership. So I'm going to be above on them as well. So I really, really like the Caps. Usually a Caps hater, but I'm all over them tonight with this 3.4 implied total. Anything else in this one?
No, that's probably it for me. If you want to go with Blackwood and Net, I think that's fine. 7,100, just to counteract a little bit of that Washington ownership, but he's not a guy that I'm forcing into my lineups.
All right, let's go to Carolina and Columbus, 3 implied total for the Hurricanes, 2.5 for the Blue Jackets. Nedeljkovic on the back-to-back against Korpisalo. Blue Jackets lines, I don't know what's going on with them. They've got the three-wing line. It looks like Foligno with Bjorkstrand, Line A. They might have changed, since we got on the show. Like, you just never know with them. And then Carolina going with their normal line, still no Trocheck for them. So Stahl with Svechnikov and Jesper Fast, Aho with Niederreiter and Netches. Do you like anything in this game? I'm not seeing one player other than Patrick Laine with above 5% ownership. Can you talk me on to anything here?
So I mentioned it in our Slack earlier today. In context neutral, Columbus 1 is my best value line of all top lines, like based on projected points per dollar. And that kind of scares me because I haven't run my crunches yet. And even when I add in the context, like home and away and opponent strength and all that, like I know they're still going to be somewhere in the top five. And I know I'm going to end up with like 20% Max Domi or something like that. And I'm going to just cross them off and I'm going to take them out. There's just nothing I like in this game. I like, as much as I want it, like I say that Columbus top line is a great value. It is if they were to play 60 minutes to get together. Yeah. But what's the likelihood that they're going to play the entire game? So that's why I can't really recommend stacking any. You can't recommend stacking any line from Columbus. You can recommend using players. Like, I would one off Line A, because if he catches a hold of a couple of, a, you know, two or three pucks, he can change an entire slate. Like, I have no problem with that. If you want one off somebody like Max Domi because of his price and because he, you know, he's slated to start on the top line, I have no problem with that either. I can't get on board with full stacking anything from Columbus. And on the Carolina side, like I mentioned it to you before the show, Columbus, you know, they're a punching bag earlier in the year, but over the last month, 11th by expected goals against per 60 minutes, mm-hmm. which works out to about 2.1, better than average. And over that span, they're better than a team like Minnesota. So if this matchup were Carolina going into Minnesota, how much interest would you have in Carolina? And that's the question. That's the way I look at it. And the answer is none. I don't have any interest in playing, you know, a nearly 18K Carolina one line. I have no interest in playing Carolina two with Jordan, you know, with Jordan Staal still priced near 5K, you know, he's still riding his bender from earlier in the season. Dougie Hamilton over $7,000. Like, I just don't think the prices are commensurate with where Columbus has been playing of late. I think they're more commensurate where with Columbus was a month ago. And because of that reason, I'm just out on both sides.
Yeah, I think if I was making limited lineups tonight, I probably wouldn't have much of anything here. I will say I'm a little bit higher on Carolina too than you, it sounds like. So we're showing like 2-ish% ownership on DK for them. I think it's a reasonable price. Get Svechkov and Staal, top power play. Now, the problem is if you want to four-man them, I don't really recommend that just because Hamilton is 7,200. I'll be playing some Seth Jones one-offs probably for 4,900. I never know what to do with the Columbus lines. In fact, I crunched like an hour ago, and now the lines have changed on Fantasy Country with them. So even when you think you got them right, they're constantly being updated. They're just really frustrating to get to on an 11-game slate. They're nothing more than like fillers here and there, Columbus 1 and 2, that is. So I think we're all good there. We did get a super chat from Grade A Flicks. It says, has been a profitable 2 weeks on FanDuel with cash and satellites, 6th place last week and 200 last night. Ready for the big 777 on FanDuel tonight. Thanks, Jake and Cliffy. Yeah, that's really nice. $10 super chat. Very generous. And then we got another nice message here. No super chat, but Diplomat Motel says, just want to say thank you guys for your help. I don't think I've said that yet, and I've been on here for a good minute. Wouldn't drop in consistently if you guys weren't helpful. Chat's being very nice to us. So let's get some more likes. It looks like we've only got about 30. I think, you know, we were asking for likes a lot back in the day. We were getting to, you know, 100 or a couple hundred at times. So as my mouse is frozen, let's see. Do you have a Mac, Cliffy?
No, I don't.
Okay. If you have a Mac and you have any sort of dust on and you don't have like a mouse pad, sometimes your mouse just doesn't work. So, you know, there you go. Had to fix that really quick. But yeah, third world problems there. Third world problems? No, first world problems. Yeah. There you go. Right. You know, it's hard to talk on here. People judge you and stuff. You know what it's like.
Oh, yeah. Should have seen my show yesterday. It was a disaster.
I mean, it was a disaster, maybe. No, I thought it was a good show, actually, until you got to the Jeff Carter portion of the show. My gosh. And that's right when I had to I missed part of the show. I was on a different call. And, yeah. Then I tuned in just in time for Jeff Carter. So I saw that you were interested in all three LA lines, and that was good enough for me. So I locked in LA and called it a night. Didn't they end up winning last night? I don't even know.
No, they lost 4-2, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I was asleep, woke up, saw that I got about 20% of my entry fees back, and just logged out. Grizzlock greater than Yossi, Seth says. Wouldn't be a show if Seth wasn't talking about Grizzlock. All right, let's go to Toronto and Ottawa. We have a 3.7 implied total for the Leafs, 2.8 for the Sens, Jack Campbell and Philip Gustafsson. Is Murray eligible to start tonight? He's 6,500. I think you mentioned there was a couple goalies that were 6,500 for Ottawa. If it's not Gustafsson.
Yeah. I think Murray's still hurt. I don't think he's coming back yet. I think it'd be one of Forsberg or Hogberg. Who would be 6,500 on DraftKings. And like, that's kind of the tough thing about this game in particular, right? Like I wouldn't play a 7,000 Gustafsson playing back-to-back 3 and 4 against Toronto, but I would definitely have interest in a 6,500 Forsberg or Hogberg in any matchup as long as they're rested. So like, I just watch for the Ottawa goalie confirmations. Like, we talk about cheap goalies that'll face volume. Toronto's been shooting more over the last month or so than they were earlier in the season. So I think their goalie stands a good chance of seeing some, you know, shot volume here tonight. Anytime a goalie 6,500, they should have interest GPPs or cash games, doesn't matter. Ottawa put Tkachuk, Norris, and Dadonov together yesterday, and that line, thank you. That line has a lot of interest for me because all I've been waiting for is, and it's funny, I slagged Chris Tierney on the show yesterday, and then he scored the game-winning goal. So you know, I'm just sitting here talking about waiting to get rid of Chris Tierney, and now Josh Norris is here. Like Norris, I think, is their best center. He was over.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Point per game in the AHL last year. Like, this guy is a proven prospect. Like, Evgeny Dadonov, I don't think we need to go. Like, he hasn't had a great season, but that's what happens when you play with Nick Paul and not Alexander Barkov. Like, your production's going to take a hit. And Tkachuk is obviously still one of the best left wingers in hockey, especially in the fantasy game. So I really do like that Tkachuk, Norris, Dadonov line. The only thing here is that Toronto doesn't take a ton of penalties, right? So it's not like Ottawa, it's not like Tkachuk finally having a winger that's on the power play with him is a tremendous boost to his value for, you know, this particular matchup, just because Toronto doesn't take a lot of penalties. But like with Alex Galchenyuk on the second line and with Wayne Simmonds on the top line, I think those lines are weaker than they were earlier in the year, at least defensively. So I think there's a little bit, you know, I think there is a chance that Ottawa can do something here. I just prefer Freddie Anderson would be starting instead of Jack Campbell, because Jack Campbell kind of scares me for Toronto. As far as the Leafs go, I'm probably going to be out on the top line. I don't really like, again, I've talked about it before. I want to see Matthews healthy with a healthy wrist before I pay $9,200 or stack his line for over $20K on any slate. So I want to see how he fares here tonight. I'm going to go down more towards the second line, Galchenyuk with Nylander and Tavares. You know, they have good numbers. They haven't been great, but I don't think you need great numbers against the second and third lines from Ottawa. So I'm in more on Toronto 2 here tonight. On the Ottawa side, like, I'm going to have one or two of that Tkachuk, Norris, the Dadonov line, you know, at the very least, I'm going to have Tkachuk and the Dadonov, because they do get correlation, even if they don't get a lot of power plays.
Yeah. I was giving you the thumbs up. I don't know if I was on screen.
Oh, I saw that.
I was giving you thumbs up on Ottawa 1. So when you mentioned them, I like them as a full stack or as the two man with Dadonov and Tkachuk. I think that's a really nice two man for 10-3 there on DraftKings, regardless of who they go up against. I think they'll be able to generate some chances. I don't know what I want to do with Toronto 1 at this projected ownership. If all these guys are going to be in double digits on this slate, then yeah, I could talk myself into Matthews not being healthy. Do you really want to pay those prices? I think they're probably going to come down a little bit, but maybe I'm wrong on that, and maybe people are a little bit soured on Pitt because their full stack didn't go off last night. So, you know, they're going to be one of the more popular lines, I think, but I still have some interest in Toronto 1, probably out on the other Ottawa lines. Galchenyuk, $2,600 with Tavares and Nylander makes that line affordable. So I'm going there a little bit, but I think if there was a priority play for me, it would probably be Ottawa 1 for me in this game. So a little bit weird because the total, you know, they're almost a full goal projected less than the Leafs here, but really good pricing, reasonable ownership on Tkachuk and Dadonov. So I like it. Shabbat, $5,400. Riley, $5,900. Not the most intriguing options in terms of just like looking at those guys as one-offs, but they can go with either of the top lines if you are going there. Anything else here?
I really like pretty much like four Ottawa defensemen out of this game. Like, I like Shabbat. If you're going to put in like the Dadonov and Tkachuk, you want to get that power play correlation, that's fine. Riley and Zub both played over 20, like they're both over 20 last game, if not both over 22, if I'm not mistaken. And Nikita Zaitsev is a shot blocking machine, and his price came down from the last game from 4,400 to 3,700. And Zaitsev was a guy I wrote up on the Power Plays article this morning. You know, he's good for pretty much two blocks a game. If he can get that third against the Toronto team that shoots a lot, he starts to approach value. So I honestly have interest in four different Ottawa defensemen here tonight. If I had to just like Shabbat, I would just correlate with like Tkachuk, Dadonov. Zoom or Riley, I would just put in as a punt in a, you know, as a one-off, and Zaitsev is a guy I would put in if I had, you know, 4K left over and a D spot to fill. I had no problem putting in Zaitsev. That's the way I would justify those defensemen.
All right. Yeah, that's reasonable enough. Just keep an eye out for the Ottawa goalie. We're still in the 7 Eastern starts. So we've got one more, and then we'll do a quick break and then move on to our last five in about 23 minutes. So we'll fly through this one. Sabres and Penguins, 2.2 implied total for the Sabres, 3.8 for the Penguins. Could be Tokarski. Again, he did a pretty good job for a couple periods last night, and then, you know, like he was just getting peppered. So can't really fault him there. He's 6,700 if he plays. DeSmith probably going for the Penguins. It was Tristan Jarry last night. No Kapanen, is that right, for the Penguins?
Yeah, Kapanen got injured. Looks like he's out tonight.
Okay, so McCann probably going to take over that power play one spot, and then you've got Chalk Pit one. I mean, can you talk me off Pit one, or are you there with everyone else?
No, I'm not there with everyone else. I mean, like, I'm not going to say don't play Pit one. Like, Pit one is obviously in a good spot. They're probably in the best spot on the entire slate here tonight. It's just I think everybody else is going to realize that too. Like, we have their ownership in the high teens. I could see that sticking very easily. Like, people are going to go right back to the well here. I don't see reason to believe that they wouldn't. It's just an ownership play for me. That's the only reason that I'm not on Pittsburgh one here tonight. I just want to avoid that 50 to 20% ownership. Like, I think I'd rather play Boston one than Pitt one here tonight. And I mean that. Like, I'd rather take the line that's going to be 2% rather than the line that's going to be 20%, even though they're in a worse spot. That's just kind of the way that I look at it on a slate. Like, it's really hard for me to justify playing any line that's going to be so high on a big slate. And I realize that if they go off, that I'm sunk anyway. But that's just kind of the way I'm justifying it. And like, I'm just wondering how many losses the Pittsburgh power play, you know, can lose. Like, they lost Malkin, they lost Kapanen, you know, McCann gets on there last night and they actually score goals, so maybe he'll be fine. But I'm just wondering how many more players they can lose off that power play before, you know, things start getting a little bit more stale again. So like, Pittsburgh won, great spot. Like I said, best spot on the entire slate. The only reason I'm not using them is I'm concerned about ownership. There are other lines I'd rather stack at their ownership level. On the Buffalo side, safe to say I'm going to be on an 11 game slate. I don't have to dip down to Buffalo 3 here tonight, so I'm not going back to Curtis Lazar. But I do want to make mention that Casey Mittelstadt was on the top power play unit. He's still super cheap for Buffalo. And Jeff Skinner played over 20 minutes last night, and his two highest games of the season have come under the new coach. So if you want to play Jeff Skinner as a one-off, because he probably will get close to 20 minutes again, I have no problem with that either.
Yeah, don't mind the Skinner call there. We were talking about him a little bit before the show and right at the top, if you guys missed that. So it's probably in this game just Pit one or nothing. I know people don't like to do this, but I'm right around where the field's at on Pit one. But you know, based on the way that I make my lineups, I think I'll have a bunch of unique ones in there. So, you know, they're not 30%. They're closer to 20 and probably under 20. There's an 11-game slate. There's Colorado. There's Toronto. There's Chicago that we've yet to get to. So I'm not too worried about them being, like, way more chalky than the next chalkiest stack. So I think I'll be able to get unique with them. And they are priced up a little bit. So it's not like you're getting them at a discount. They're probably going to be up there with Washington 1 as my top stack. So I'm just playing them and just moving on, getting a little bit weird with my defense, maybe leaving Letang off a good amount of my Pit 1 stacks because he ends up handcuffing you a little bit if you put in those four guys.
Old Mikey Matheson looked good last night, man. He was rushing the puck all over the place. And here's the thing. With Kasperi Kapanen out, Josh and I talked about it on the show yesterday. The Pittsburgh depth isn't very good. Like, so I think, you know, again, I don't just overlook the Sabres. Like, if Jeff Skinner at 2,800 is going to play 20 minutes against terrible depth from Pittsburgh, like, he's definitely in consideration. So again, I'm out on mostly Buffalo, just one offing. Just don't X them out entirely on the slate is my one piece of advice.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, even if it just allows you to get to, another stack, if you're talking about like playing some of these fillers. So I know I try to go out of my way to not X teams out. Sometimes if they're popular and I just think it's wrong, I will X teams out on some bigger slates like this, but I haven't really seen teams that I'm doing that on just yet. All right. Before we move it on to our final five games, just want to mention that if you guys have missed out on the first week of March Madness, it was a $29.99 package for the entirety of March Madness. So you missed the first week. You're feeling sad because, you know, you missed out on the screenshots. Alex Baker tweeted out a screenshot using Matt Gajewski's projections. Well, we have decreased the price for you. $9.95 for the rest of the tournament. You get college basketball projections. The tournaments are still good on the various sites, so you're going to want to take advantage. Not a lot of people have access to projections too, so you're going to be well ahead of the game. So if you don't have the Platinum Pass already, sign up for our March Madness Pass for $9.95 through the rest of the tournament. And then we've also got ownership projections for free today for NHL. So if you haven't checked those out, if you want to see what's behind the paywall, one of our tools is the ownership projections. We project every player that we think is going to play. Same thing with NBA today. Those are also unlocked for anyone. So if you're looking to see, maybe looking for an NBA package and you're looking for an NBA show right now, well, it's coming on in about 22 minutes. So just hold tight there and then check out the ownership projections while you wait. MMA fighter projections as well. So if you're playing MMA this week, I've been playing some MMA DFS for over the last year, got into it a little bit and had a good time. So the guys at the site do a great job. The rankings are going to be free for today only. Panthers, Blackhawks, 3.4 implied total for the Panthers, 3 for the Hawks, Bobrovsky, Lankinen, Chicago 1 chalk. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm wondering what's going on with this Panthers total, because I was really taken aback when I looked this morning and I saw they opened at like 3.5 or whatever. Like, it's come down a bit during the day, but there's no Alexander Barkov here. And like, I know Florida, or I know Chicago has, you know, their play has kind of declined over the last 3 or 4 weeks, but this year with Barkov and Verhage off the ice, Florida's generating under 2 expected goals per 60 minutes. Like, there's just not a lot going on at 5-on-5. All their damage is being done by the top line or the power play. So, you know, with no Barkov there, they have no top line. And I don't want to say they have no power play, because our boy Alex Wennberg came through for us on the power play in the last game.
Oh, it.
So, you know, they still have a power play. But I honestly don't get why that total is so high. I hope it drives some ownership to Florida, because I don't have any interest in Florida without – I don't want to say that. Sorry. I actually do have a little bit of interest down on that Wennberg line. If he's going to play power play 1 minute, then yeah, I do have interest in Wennberg, Hornqvist and Huberto, if that's a line. I saw Huberto jump to the top line last game, so it might just be, you know, Vetrano, Wennberg and Hornqvist or something like that. But at least now you get Wennberg on that top PP unit. So like, I don't hate putting like a Wennberg, Hornqvist, Yandle line together, but I'm not playing Florida personally. I'm out on the Panthers almost entirely on this game. I'm in on Chicago, especially where their prices have come down so much. Like, it wasn't long ago that both Kane and DeBrincat were well over 8K, right? Now DeBrincat's down to 7,100. Kane in the mid sevens on DK. It's a little bit more reasonable. So yeah, I'm with those guys, or I'm with you. Sorry. I do like Chicago 1. I do like the chalk. I do think there are ways to get different with the chalk. Like, this is a case where you can throw in Brant, like Carl Soderberg was a guy I wrote up this morning for my power plays article. You can throw him in. Brandon Hagel is on the top power play unit. You can throw him in. I'd even feel fine with like putting like a Kane to Brinkat Kubalik line, even though they're not on the power play or the same line together. Like, I think Kubalik, he's just one of those guys that can put up 2 goals by himself. He doesn't need great line mates, so I'd even be fine with something like that. There are enough ways to get different with the Chicago stack that I don't think you have to be too worried about ownership, even if they come in somewhere between 10% and 15%.
Yep, I think it's good chalk with Chicago 1 without Barkov here. It's been a revolving door for the center on the top line with DeBrincat and Kane, so I feel a little bit better about Suter, like full stacking Chicago 1, because he played with them all last game. But yeah, you can throw in Soderberg there if you want to save an extra $400. And then Florida, like, by the way, if you guys didn't get the Barkov news, you're not alone. A lot of people missed out on that the other night. So that's one of the more tilting scratches. I got him out in all my lineups except one out of my 150, which I think is pretty good. He had one in the util spot that I missed. But yeah, you had about a minute or so to react. But we did have an alert in Premium Slack, and a lot of people ended up getting him out. So just another reason to join Premium Slack is a really, really great resource because we've got people scouring Twitter and sharing news at various hours of the night. The way I'm treating Florida tonight is that they've got a 3.4 implied total. I don't really believe in the lines, but if the ownership's going to be this low, Vegas knows more than me. So if they're going to score 3+ goals more often than not in this spot and these prices at these ownerships, I don't really care about the names that much. So not a huge Achari guy, not a huge Mason Marchment guy, but whatever. They're playing with Huberto, 6,600. Wenberg's playing top power play minutes. I'm fine
there
with,
he is.
With a little bit of Wenberg, a little bit of Wenberg. You know, I'm not saying he's up, but
it only took three, but it only took 2 months to get from Wenberg sucks to I'm playing Wenberg. I love it.
I mean, I don't know. You can look at my exposures on lineup study. I think I play like max like 5% of him. I might get up to like 6% Wenberg tonight. So getting a little bit crazy. I'd probably have some interest in 4-3 if there was any power play time on any of those guys. So Duclair's been in the doghouse. I mean, Verhaeghe is 5,600, not playing with Barkov. That's a little bit tough to stomach. So probably just Chicago 1 and then Florida 1 and 2. I like them both at their ownerships. So I do like this game quite a bit if it's going to, you know, if our ownership projections are even close to accurate. Let's go to Detroit and Nashville, 2.4 implied total for the Wings, 3 for the Preds. Grice, ? Saros, ? I don't know. We never know with these teams. But Roman Josi is back in our lives. He is one of the highest owned players of the night. Rightfully so, 6,400 going up against the Red Wings. Talk about how great Josi is tonight.
I don't have any Josi tonight.
Oh. Wow.
Okay. I should probably explain why I have no Josi tonight. I don't have him yet. Okay. I'll just say that. I crunched my lines right before we came on the air. I haven't even looked at them. I'm pretty sure he's not in there because I'm not in so much. On the Nashville top line, here's the thing. The Nashville top line this year, 1.6 expected goals for, 43% expected goal share. Those are bad numbers. The Nashville second line has been just outstanding together. Small sample, but 3.6 expected goals for per 60 minutes and 33 minutes. Now, 3.8, I think. Now, If you take just a sample of Granlund and Arvidsson together without Philip Forsberg, because they did play with Forsberg a little bit earlier in the year, Granlund and Arvidsson together, 67.7% expected goal share this year. Now, a lot of that is probably due to the fact that they're playing depth lines, right? Like the top line with Forsberg and whomever's been there has typically taken the matchups. But they're going to do the same thing again here tonight. And that Nashville line got mostly Detroit 3 in when these two teams played a couple days ago. And just completely throttled them. Like Granlund got one goal and he had a second goal that was called back just because I think Yarncroc just kind of clipped the goalie skating through the crease or something like that. So they called goaltender interference. Like it could have been a 2-goal night for Granlund. They just ran right over Detroit 3. Nashville 1 is going to be matched up against Detroit 1. That's what's taking me away from Nashville 1 here tonight. And that's what's getting me to Nashville 2. And that's what's getting me away from Roman Josi, unfortunately. Enough. It's just I'm going with the cheaper defenseman that might correlate better. So, like, I don't have a problem with playing Josi. Somebody told me they're playing 30% Josi tonight. I'd say that makes complete sense to me. It's just the way I built my lineups tonight, at least to this point. I don't have him in my lineups, but that, like I said, that Nashville second line, absolutely dynamite so far this year. I don't see any reason why they wouldn't be keep going against the depth from Detroit. So give me some Nashville too.
Yeah, Nashville 2 is the line I had circled for this game. So you mentioned the numbers. The matchup is great. It's just you wish that they all played top power play, but that doesn't always work out. They're getting some secondary time. If you want to stack Nashville 2 with Ekholm, that's a very affordable two-man if you wanted to get the three guys on the secondary power play. Or I guess you could stack line 3 with Ekholm as well if you wanted to do that. So Josi and Ekholm, both very solid plays for me. Did I say Ekholm was 4,000? I think I read off his FanDuel price. Let's see what he's at. 5,700. So a little bit more expensive, but I do really like Nashville too. Nashville won all plays in the top power play. So I thought there'd be a more popular filler. It looks like they're not there quite yet, maybe because of the middling total, just three goals at home. But you mentioned the matchup against Detroit. I think that's one that they might struggle with here at 5-on-5. The problem is that's the line that plays, or they're going to play the most with Yossi, 5-on-5 and power play. So I'm getting to some of them. Yossi's my highest owned defenseman. Feels nice to be able to just throw that in because, you know, he's just the best. Yossi's the best. Everybody knows that 6,400 is, I think, in all seriousness, not high enough of a price, especially for an MME play. So that'll be my guy this evening. I'm good on the Detroit side outside of maybe some Detroit one, but it looks like they're, we've been projecting them to get quite a bit of ownership recently. So I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that with the 2.4 implied total.
Yeah, I'm just out on Detroit. I have no interest here tonight.
All right, let's go to the Blues and the Wild. We've got a 2.6 implied total for St. Louis, 2.9 for the Wild. Let's see. Binnington, Cam Talbot, those are your projected goalies. Minnesota line's kind of up in the air. They played yesterday afternoon. We know what St. Louis is going to do. What do you like in this one, if anything?
I think this is our time zone tout game of the day.
All right.
Minnesota, this makes 5 games in 8 nights for them. They're playing on a back-to-back, and it's been across 2 time zones. Before the show, I was telling you about how some beat writers have speculated and talked about how the team has looked really tired. I mean, 5 games in 8 nights makes sense that, you know, they'd be tired now. You know, and this was one of the teams that had to deal with a lot of COVID cases earlier in the season. So now that the schedule is getting crunched, now that there's no practice time, there's a little time to rest. I mean, that would kind of make sense. We don't know exactly what the Minnesota lines are going to be, but one of their beat writers did tweet that Rask, Zuccarello, and Kaprizov had a meeting just to discuss like tactics and stuff like that, like go over video, et cetera, et cetera. So I assume Rask, Zuccarello, Kaprizov at the very least stays together. So if you want to stack Minnesota, I mean, they're the line that you would probably go to most often if you're going to stack Minnesota anyway. So it's nice to have them, to have that correlation. I have a little bit of interest on the St. Louis side here. Now, I say that, and St. Louis just has looked bad lately. Even with Jaden Schwartz back, like I look, it's only been 3 games since Jaden Schwartz has been back. But those 3 games have been 2 against San Jose and 1 against a very injured Vegas team. And St. Louis is rocking a 41 expected goal share in those 3 games. Like, but that's with Schwartz back. That's with Tarasenko back. That's with Robert Thomas back. Like, that's with all those guys back. I still don't know what's going on with St. Louis, but the thing is, they're still way too cheap, right? Like, Tarasenko, Shen, and Schwartz coming in under 15K. It's hard not to play them at that price. So I'm going to get to either a little bit of that line or a little bit of the Ryan O'Reilly line. I haven't decided which yet. One thing, I think the Ryan O'Reilly line is going to see Joel Eriksson Ek. Like, that's the matchup that would make sense to me. So going down to Shen, Schwartz, Tarasenko is probably the play because then they avoid that brutal matchup. So that's where I'm going to be on the St. Louis side. On the Minnesota side, I think the only thing I might play is 4,100 Matt Dumba because he's coming back back in the lineup tonight after a few games out with injury, and I suspect his ownership won't be very high.
Yeah, I think I'm off St. Louis, especially if our ownership is accurate on the Shen, Schwartz, Tarasenko line. Like, just one of the more popular lines going into Minnesota. You got a low total. And then Parayko, like, since Parayko's been out, they've just been really bad looking, especially defensively. So I want to figure something else out on the Minnesota side. And it's probably going to end up being the Rask, Kaprizov, and Zuccarello line. I'm okay with it. I wish there was a secondary line that we could target with them. I don't have much interest in Eriksson Ek, Greenway, and whoever else they're playing with. Hartman and Fiala, maybe with Marcus Johansson, $2,500 there. So maybe some sprinkles of both of the Minnesota top two. But man, if St. Louis one is going to be this popular, I mean, maybe they avoid the Eriksson Ek line, but Minnesota is still a pretty good defensive team in getting back Dumba. Is Susie going to be out? Is that what we said before the show?
Yeah, I'm assuming it's going to be Carson Soucy that's out, but just beware, it could be Brad Hunt, and that would completely change up their top DP unit.
Okay, cool. Let's go to Tampa and Dallas. We got about four more minutes for these final two. Lightning, 3 implied total. Stars, 2.4. Vasilevsky, Oettinger. Are you on anything on the Dallas side, or is this a Tampa game for you?
I had some interest in Gurianov and Pavelski as a two-man, but I don't like stacking lines when I don't even know what the lines are going to be. Like, we just don't have a lot of confirmation from Dallas. I like the Tampa side here, actually. Point, Palat, and Stamkos were put back together last game. It looks like they're going to be back together for this game. 2.9 expected goals for in their sample, 60% expected goal share. I don't know if you've seen anything about Radek Faxa's health, but you know, there has been some stuff about him not being completely 100% lately. So I'm getting more to the Dallas or to the Tampa side, Tampa one. I think, you know, you talk about ownership. Their ownership is like super, super low, like down in the Boston range, down near 2%. So I'm going to be in on Tampa. On the Dallas side, Miro Heiskanen is the guy that's drawing my interest. I think he's been over 26 minutes in 5 straight games. So he's actually one of my favorite one-off defensemen on the entire slate.
Yeah, Miro for sure, especially because his price is coming down, even though he's played a ton of minutes. So anyone playing that many minutes, I know his rates aren't like elite levels, but 4,700 top power play. I'm in for some of that as well. And then Hedman, I mean, I know I talked about Yossi, but Hedman at, you know, maybe a fifth to a tenth of the ownership as Yossi, I think is a pretty good pivot in some of your lineups. And you can throw him in with Tampa one. That's not going to be a four-man that people are getting to. This is a low total for Tampa's standards. But, you know, back, they've got the big three guys back together. They're fully correlated. And Dallas is hurting quite a bit. So maybe Faxa injury, not too worried about him shutting them down if he's not going to be 100%. So I like some Tampa one here tonight, and then I'll be going to some of their third line as well. Yanni Gourde with Coleman and Barkley Goudreau as a filler stack. All right, before we get to the last game, looks like we're at almost 80 likes. So I think that's pretty good. We could probably get that to over 100. We got 200 people, 200 plus watching right now. So if half you guys hit the like button, we'll be getting to 100 in no time. And then subscribe to the channel. That is the best way you can help us out for free. Cliffy, I want to hear your hat trick pick at some point here. So get that queued up. And we've got the Golden Knights and the Colorado Avalanche, 2.5 implied total for the Knights, 3 for the Avs. Pacioretty, questionable to play. It looks like he's trending towards playing. But this might be a Colorado game at low ownership for us here.
Yeah, I'm assuming Pacioretty is out tonight. Like, it's the last game of the night. You have to kind of make a decision of whether or not he's in or out before you get there. So I'm assuming that he's out. With Pacioretty off the top line this year, that line has just been, like, bad. 41.6 expected goals, 4 per 60, 41.9% expected goal share. Those are just terrible, terrible numbers. Like, Colorado one is going to run them over if that's the case. Like, and with no Alex Pietrangelo still, right? Like, their best, I'd say their best defenseman, you know, you can make an argument for Theodore. I don't want to get into that right now, but I missing their best defenseman and their second best two-way winger. Like, I think that's a, you know, those are big hits. So yeah, I'm in on Colorado one. I think they make a ton of sense as an ownership play. You talked about their ownership. There is almost none. So Colorado is probably my favorite expensive stack of the entire slate.
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely going to have more than the field on Colorado one that we're showing. If you've put them at 5%, I want to have more closer to 10, 15, somewhere in there. I will be jamming them in if I'm not getting to them organically. And then I will say I love Colorado two as well. Great numbers of 5-on-5. They're probably going to be matched up against the Carlson, Marchessault, Smith line. That line's not great defensively. So I'm all over Colorado too, even though the ice time for Saad has been down. I think Kadri is going to carry them. And he's my hat trick pick of the night, actually. Kadri at 6K. I really, really love Colorado too. Who you got for your hat trick pick before we get out?
I'm going to DJ Zibad, Mika Zibanejad tonight.
Mika Zibanejad? All right, there you go. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Looks like we're getting close to 100 likes. We'll get there once the show is done and some people trickle in. Thanks for watching. Good luck tonight. Cliffy and I will break it down a day from now.